I'm DMA Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to Heat Wave. It's fitting for the weather we've been having. It's Irving Berlin, featured in The Melody Lingers On, a musical at Clackamas Repertory Theater running through August 27th. We're going to be hearing from the legendary Ethel Waters in a moment. Today we talk with Cindy Smith English, executive director of Clackamas Rep, and acclaimed vocalist LaRonda Steele, who has a guest spot in the show. And later in the show, playwright Randy Reinholz tells us about Off the Rails, the first Native American play at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It runs through October 28th. Two theaters with diversity milestones on today's stage and studio, so stay tuned.
We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat.
I'm DMA Roberts, and that was Ethel Waters singing Heat Wave, one of Irving Berlin's songs that's featured in The Melody Lingers On. With me in the KBOO studio are Cindy Smith English, executive director of Clackamas Repertory Theater. Hello.
Hello, DMA.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And with her is LaRonda Steele, who is guest starring in Irving Berlin's song that we're going to talk about later, featured in The Melody Lingers On. Welcome, yes. LaRonda.
Thank you.
It's good to have you both. First-timers, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it true, Cindy, I'm going to start with you, that Irving Berlin could only write music in the key of F major?
That is true. He could write only in one key. He could play only on the black keys of the piano. So when he wanted a different, he had a special piano built, so when he wanted to play in a different key, he would just get this connection to the piano and shift all the keys to change key.
That is very odd.
Self-taught. Obviously, self-taught.
That's a little-known fact there. Yeah, so it's amazing he wrote all these amazing songs, right? Irving Berlin's The Melody Lingers On has a lot of jazz classic songs that would be familiar to our listeners. Cheek to Cheek, mm-hmm. Blue Skies, Always. What other songs?
Putting on the Ritz.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Christmas song he wrote.
White Christmas.
Yes.
There you go. And that's in the show, too.
It is.
Is God Bless America.
That's
wow.
Right.
Wow.
He's an amazing writer.
It's history, right?
Mm-hmm.
History.
A lot of history.
And how many songs are featured in the show?
46.
46 songs?
Yep.
That's a lot of songs.
That's a lot of songs. There's a lot of really interesting arrangements is one thing I love about the show. And some of the songs overlap. One song will start, and then another singer will sing part of another song, and then they'll sing them together, and they're different beats, different times, I think there must be at least three of those occasions when the music overlaps, which makes it really fun. The arrangements in this show are terrific.
So is there a storyline there?
There is a storyline. It tells, there's a storyline connecting the songs, talking about Irving Berlin's life, his two marriages, his career writing for Tin Pan Alley, for Hollywood films, for producing his own shows, and just his amazing successes.
So you get a little bit of everything there.
You do.
So I'm wondering, what made Clackamas Rep want to produce this?
Well, initially, we were looking for something a little bit smaller. We did Music Man last year with 34 people, and we saw Melody Lingers On. The music's great, and there's 10 people. But it's ended up being bigger, of course. Much bigger.
How many people are in it now?
There are 10 people in it, and 11 with LaRonda guesting, and Karen Maria Coppel guests twice. LaRonda's doing most of them, but her daughter Lauren has been understudying for Susanna Mars and has gone on a few nights, and she'll be guesting a few nights, too.
Wow, that's amazing that you can do all that, you know, because it's kind of hard to orchestrate.
It is a little bit.
It's a scheduling nightmare. What can I say?
It's fine. We got it.
I added to that, but so thank you.
Well, LaRonda would
have a feeling she's worth it, though.
She's worth it, and she probably would have been in the show, but she had this little two-week conflict in Italy.
We're going to talk about this two-week conflict in Italy, one that I'm sure we all would want. You also have an orchestra, right?
We have a six-piece band on stage. Yeah, they're terrific. Yeah. Conductor, music director, Lars Campbell, trombonist, plays a lot in town, is also head of the music department at Clackamas.
Well, it sounds like a good, you know, fun summer show to do.
It is a fun summer show. And
you're sold out some of the performances already.
Sundays are pretty full, people are loving it. Much of it is very moving. It's very, very touching, very moving.
Well, we also need that and more uplifting things during these hard times we're going through.
It covers it all.
But, you know, there is you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. My guests are Cindy Smith English of Clackamas Repertory
Repertory Theater, and singer LaRonda Steele, who is guest starring in Irving Berlin's The Melody Lingers On. If you missed any of this interview so far, it's a podcast on stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. I want to get into some of the history of the music. Mm-hmm. Some of it, you know, is pretty well known, and some of the songs are not as well known. And so I'm just, you know, wondering about, you know, how you've sort of navigated some of the history.
Well, Irving Berlin was an interesting guy. I don't know if you want to talk about...
Well, I was, you know, I got interested in the show when I was talking with Susanna Mars mm-hmm. and James Dixon, who are mm-hmm. both in Melody Lingers On, and they're also guest hosts of Stage and Studio. Mm-hmm. And they told me that, you know, some of the songs were minstrel songs.
You know, I have to admit, I haven't found a lot of information on that.
Oh, okay. But there is one song, Supper Time, which is the song that LaRonda sings, and it was originally written for Ethel Waters. Right. Let's hear a little bit of it.
Supper time, I must set a table, 'cause it's supper time. Somehow I ain't able, 'cause that man of mine ain't coming home no more. Supper time, kids.
So it's a really moving song, and I'm wondering maybe if you could speak to, you know, LaRonda, do you want to speak to sort of the personal connection to this and what's behind this song and the story in the song?
What I know about the song is that Irving Berlin wrote it. He wrote it and Ethel Waters sang it. It's about a wife or a woman whose husband has been lynched.
And she's waiting for him to come home.
She's waiting for him to come home for supper. And through the song, it talks about how she's going to explain it to the children. How's she going to say again that he's not coming home? And then how's she going to ask them to be thankful and grateful? And when they start thanking the Lord, how is she going to thank the Lord when she knows this tragedy has happened? And I have to tell you, it's quite... When I sing, I really try to get into, no, not try, I get into the meaning of the song. So each night I have to put myself in that woman's place of knowing that this tragic violence has come into her home, and she's devastated. She doesn't know what to do.
Well, I understand that Irving Berlin actually wrote this song with Ethel Waters in mind. Mm-hmm. And for the time period, I'm not clear on when it was actually written, but for that time period, it was pretty...
Well, it was 1933.
Progressive.
Mm-hmm. It was his own review he produced, and he wrote it for her. And the show, the show was unique. It was the first one based on topical things in the headlines. Mm-hmm. And it was a big success. And interestingly, the rest of the cast refused to take a curtain call with Ethel Waters.
Because she's black.
She's black. And, yeah. And Irving Berlin said, well, I guess there's no curtain call then. So then they took a curtain call with her.
Was she the only black singer in the show?
I believe so. I'm not sure.
I believe hearing that as well, that she was the only black actor.
Well, I'm glad he took that stand, you know? I think that was an important moment, especially on Broadway.
Can I say that I am just so honored that Clackamas Repertory Theater had the insight to hire women of color to sing this song. I really appreciate that. I don't know if I've expressed that to you, but just the insight and the sensitivity to the subject matter, and to have... You know, women of color, my daughter, myself, and Miss Capo to do it is pretty wonderful. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, it's my pleasure. And there's nothing in the script that tells the audience what this song is about.
So it could have been sung by a white singer?
I think it usually is.
It usually is?
In this show, because there's no...
That's why I asked you about the history of this show.
There's no context provided. And I'm doing research for a grant proposal, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. This is what this song is about. We can't have just anybody sing this song. That's horrifying.
That's an important step to take, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you.
Well, and we just with his whole. In addition to Ethel Waters, he also toured with a large group of men in World War II, and it was an integrated cast. And the Army, Navy, you know, the services weren't integrated until 1948. And he insisted that his cast of men not be segregated as they traveled, even though all of the armed services were segregated. So with this history and with knowing about the Ethel Waters, we thought, you know, we're really going to proactively reach out to the minority community to do some casting. Because we always say minority actors welcome, please audition, but they don't. We're not on the radar. We're not known for doing minority shows. We're not... So with the help of Susanna, we met LaRonda and Lauren and some of the other cast members. And
James Dixon and Don Mason.
Don Kenneth Mason, yeah. Yeah, so you know, we're making an effort.
Well, that's why I was saying that this is sort of a milestone for Clackamas Rep.
It is.
You know, and I think it's an important one. And so have you learned lessons from this that you could continue, you know, to keep diversifying your seasons?
Well, what I have learned is I first need to have the idea of how this works with this piece, you know, the idea that, well, if I cast a minority actress in this, what will this say about this piece? How will this make more, open up some conversation, engage more people? And then I also do it sort of backwards. LaRonda's daughter, Lauren, is so fabulous. It's like, wow, what can we do for her next year? You know, so then I'm thinking, okay,
That's the next step.
What's suitable?
How because just, once you locate actors of color, how do you keep them employed,
What can we do that works for her, works for the piece, works for everybody, you know, so that she feels good about it?
And I think that's an important step. So that's probably the next step. Building a troupe of folks, you know, you can continue this. LaRonda, you know, I'm just, you know, I think this is a find, frankly, Cindy. And kudos to Susanna. You know, you're a 2016 Muddy Award winner for Best Female Vocalist presented by the Cascade Blues Association. You perform with the greats in Portland. We're talking Curtis Elgato. Thera Memory, Janice Marie Scroggins. And so what made you want to take this step to sing in a musical at Clackamas Rep?
Well, first of all, because Susanna asked me. I've done a couple of things with her over at Artist Repertory Theater, and I just really love her. And when I have dreamt of being on stage. I love being started in the clubs. Well, started in church, and then sang in clubs, and have been on some larger stages. And I just, it's like a progression for me. And it's an area that I'd like to grow in. And watching these amazing actors. Oh my Lord, I should have started 20 years ago. But anyhow, to be included in this show and watching the rehearsal process and watching how the shows take place and the staging and the lighting, it is magnificent to be a part of it.
It sounds a little like you're hooked.
I'm going to be calling.
I mean, you like the
you
costuming.
Every day. What you got for me? What you got?
Well,
you
we'll
got?
Be thinking. We'll be thinking.
There you go. There's the next step.
I just dreamt it, and my goodness, it just happened. And I'm so grateful
you
for it.
You caught the acting bug. What can I say? Well, that's so nice to hear. And also, I mean, there must be a plus, although you're not singing together, having your daughter, Lauren Steele, in the show, too. You're alternating, know, but still, you know, having her, you know,
it's
in the rehearsal
really,
process.
It's surreal in that when I performed before, the kids have performed with me at the Waterfront Blues Festival and arenas that I ask them to sing with me in. And Lauren has been a part of musical theater for over 10 years.
Oh.
And so we come and we watch her plays, and she's always magnificent. So to be able to be in one with her is going to make me cry because I just realize I know she's so talented, and then I get to watch her and be in her world and be the one in awe. And I mean, it's just
you're tearing up as
we're all crying.
I love my babies.
That's very touching.
My babies, and she's supporting me, saying, "No, Mom, you can do this. You can do this." And I'm like,
And you did. You were great.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
It sounds like something not to be missed, and maybe in the future something a mother-daughter thing could, you know, for the Clackamas Reps next season.
At the very least, a concert together.
There you go.
I'm ready.
At the very least, but I think there's a lot more in the works here. Clackamas Repertory Theater presents Irving Berlin's The Melody Lingers On, directed by David Smith English and Wes Angel Hansen. The show runs through August 27th, Thursday through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2:30 p.m. All shows are at Clackamas Repertory Theater. That's located at 19600. That's 19600 Molalla Avenue in Oregon City. And you can get more info at clackamasrep.org. And you can also log on to stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And if you want to see LaRonda Steele perform Suppertime, her dates are, get a pen, August 10th, 17th, 20th, 24th, and 26th, and the 27th. So in the time remaining, LaRonda, do you have any other upcoming performances in Portland you want to mention?
Oh, my goodness. I've got a bunch of them. Okay. Wednesday, this coming up Wednesday, August 9th, I'll be with Arietta Ward on Music on Main. So that's pretty exciting. Thursday, I'll be at Clackamas Community College with Melody Lingers On. Friday, I will be at the 503 restaurant up in West Lynn with King Louis Payne, who we went to Peretta with. Saturday the 12th, I will be at the Port of Camas and Washougal doing a music. Louis and I and the rest of the guys will be performing there. Sunday, I will be at the Beloved Festival in Eugene doing a gospel set with Arietta, and then I will be at the Alberta Jazz Festival that same night.
And what's this?
Albina, I think it is. Albina Jazz Festival.
Yeah, it's Albina. So what is this 2 weeks in Italy thing?
Well, oh my gosh.
You forgot about that.
Honey, I just finally got over jet lag. Jet lag is real.
I know.
It was a concept before, but oh my goodness. We went to Peretta, Italy. Louis and I have a CD called Rock Me Baby, which is a collaboration of just songs that he and I started singing together, because when Linda Hornbuckle got ill, I kind of took over some gigs for her while she was undergoing treatment. And so that had Louis and I working together more in a duo capacity. And so we just say, okay, what song do you know? What key do we do it in? Boom. And then we just create there on the spot. And so I said, well, let's mark this time in history. Of us in history. Let's create a CD. We created a CD called Rock Me Baby, and Louis sent it off to be reviewed in Downbeat magazine.
You know what? We have that song, so we're going to play that out for you guys. Thank you so much, LaRonda Steele, Cindy Smith English. Thank you for joining me today. It's been totally lovely.
Thank you.
Next up, we hear from playwright Randy Reinholz after this short break with LaRonda Steele singing Rock Me Baby.
Rock Me Baby. Rock me all night long. I want you to rock me, sugar. Rock me all night long. Yeah. I want you to rock me, sweet honey. Just like my back ain't got no bone. Baby, yeah. Like you roll a big old wagon wheel. Yeah, down one of them country roads, yeah. Roll me, baby, baby, yeah. Like you roll a wagon wheel. When you're rolling me, sugar.
I'm DeMay Roberts, and this is Stage and Studio. With me, patiently waiting in the wings via phone, is playwright Randy Reinholz. Are you there? Well, we're going to be talking about Off the Rails. It's the first Native American play. Oh, hi, Randy.
Hi.
I'm so glad you're there. Randy Reinholz, your play, Off the Rails, it's the first Native American play at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. In its 82nd year history, congratulations on that.
Thanks. I'm happy that it's the first, but there's one next year that's just as important by Mary Catherine Nagle.
Ah,
So, but you know, you are the first, so that's so great. So you're of the Choctaw Nation, and you're the producing artistic director and founder of Native Voices at the Autry in Los Angeles. What is that? Can you give us a brief overview of the Autry Theater?
Sure. So the Autry is a Western Heritage Museum in Griffith Park by the zoo, so right there centrally located in the city. And our theater company develops and produces new works of American theater artists. So we've had about 35.
That's wonderful. And that it's in LA.
Yeah. 200. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, 200. You've workshopped 200 plays. That's amazing. Well, wait, I hope you put that on the list somewhere for those of us to, you know, to look at. Your play Off the Rails blends Shakespeare's Measure for Measure with the history of Indian boarding schools, and you called it Blazing Saddles meets Shakespeare. And so I was just wondering what your inspiration for that.
Sure. You know, I think these very difficult subjects and periods of history that have been buried in America, they're buried for a reason. People have a lot of trouble understanding or hearing. So as much as people really appreciate this play dealing with the boarding school issues, some people are very disturbed by it. It's hard for them to believe their country could engage in cultural genocide. So we tried to put some entertaining elements in the play so as the audience goes through the story, they have a sense that it's going to work out okay. And, you know, the play is very difficult, and it's hard to stage atrocity.
Oh, yeah.
How do we stage American atrocities? So that's what the play does, and really warm receptions. There are many applause lines in the play, and people are clapping after the songs and clapping after certain performances and, you know, big standing ovation afterwards. So it seems like it's really hit a chord with the audiences.
Randy, I was curious, do you happen to have your radio on, or are you listening to us live right now?
You know, I think I'm on two phones at once.
Oh, because I'm hearing a delay, so I
let's try this.
Okay. It is live radio. Yes, it helps a lot. I thought I was going a little mad here. So,
no.
So, you know, let's give the information about the Off the Rails. It is a world premiere, and it is the first time a Native American playwright whose work has been produced at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in its 82nd year history. It's called Off the Rails by Randy Reinholtz, and it's directed by Bill Rausch, who is the artistic director of Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It's a world premiere that runs through October 28th at OSF's Angus Bomer Theater in Ashland. And for tickets, you can visit osfashland.org. That's osfashland.org. Or call 1-800-219-8161. And we have Randy Reinholtz back on the line. Hello, Randy.
Hi, sorry about that, Demaine.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, this is live radio, as I remind everybody, and it makes life exciting, you know? So I was just curious about what aspects of the Indian boarding school does Off the Rails bring out?
Well, for a lot of people, they may not know much about the boarding school period. So it was a 50-year experiment. The motto of the boarding school was kill the Indian and save the man. There were, out of the 15 million Indians that were on this in this country, on this land, when Columbus arrived, we were down to 220,000. And there were many voices, not unlike today, calling for the extermination of the remaining 200,000. And not that people are calling for extermination of Indians today, but we have some radical voices making some strange political pronouncements right now.
Oh, I agree with you there. You know, I saw your video interview about the play, and you talked about how America has a habit of wiping out shameful history or wiping it under the rug, you know?
Right.
And in Off the Rails, it seems like you want to focus on, you know, as on the horrific history, but also, you know, of having a culture erased, which is what the Indian boarding schools were attempting to do, and quite successfully in many cases, but also how the kids who went to the Indian boarding schools coped and survived the experience.
Exactly. And the play, that's what the play is doing, is celebrating the resilience of those young boys and girls and the families that took care of them during this difficult time. So it ended up okay after about 10 generations. Indian people are strong and powerful again and moving forward.
Well, and it seems like how you bring in the measure-for-measure aspect of Shakespeare is that the play focuses on the arrival of Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, and it coincides with the possible, I'm sorry to say, hanging of a Pawnee teenager who's named Mama Day, who had a forbidden love affair with an Irish-American girl. So that sounds very much like the plot line of measure-for-measure.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful plot line to use, and people often use it for different purposes. It's not a perfect play, Shakespeare's play, that is. And it's when I say it's not a perfect play, it's a difficult play.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare's positing mercy is more important than vengeance. And I think it's an important time for us to think about that in the United States.
I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, you know, and also we have to remember that Measure for Measure was, even though with serious things, was considered a comedy, right?
Right.
And so there's laughter, music, and dance, and off the rails, too, I understand.
Yes. So we have Pawnee music. We have Lakota music. We have a local culture bear, a Wasco man named Brent Florendo leading those songs on stage. We have Gaelic music. There's an Irish woman who's, you know, singing in her native language. And then we have dance hall music and some Westerns all together.
And Native American actors, too.
Yeah, we have 7 Native performers
Wow.
on stage. It's beautiful.
Wow. I mean, I think that might be a first as well.
It is. It is. We're hitting a number of firsts. And the most important thing is it's a trend that's changing in American theater. Native Americans weren't invited on stage or to tell our own stories, you know, throughout the United States, and that's changing, and it's happening. OSF is leading the way, and so proud to be part of Oregon changing American culture.
And I'm proud that this is happening in Oregon too, I must say. So this is a great milestone and one that needs to be celebrated. So Off the Rails by Randy Reinholtz, directed by Bill Rausch, world premiere, runs through October 28th at OSF's Angus Bulmer Theater in Ashland. And you can visit osfashland.org or call 800-219-8161. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, again, congratulations on your world premiere, Randy Reinholtz. I think it's great, you know.
Thanks a bunch, Demet.
And I hope you've had a good time doing it, too.
I did. We had a great time.
And I look forward to the second Native American play. You know, we
exactly.
can't stop with first, right?
There you go. There you go.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today on Stage and Studio.
Thanks, Demet.
Take care. That's it for Stage and Studio today. Thanks to engineer Tave Fache Drake. The podcast of the show will be online later today at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You can like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio, which I think we had the live stream there on Facebook too. So tweet me at stage, the letter and studio. So till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. Let's go out with more music by LaRonda Steele. We'll be right back.